All right. Well, I know you'd all rather just turn and talk to each other, but we'll have a sermon today after all. Dick had just offered to do a few jokes for me to, as my opener, but I said I don't need an opening act today. So, all right. Well, let's, you know, we're coming into, again, the series. We're at week four of Guard Your Heart. Sometimes I like to preach. When I preach, I start by asking a question. I want to get you thinking about something. I want you to think about, have you ever gotten lost because of a GPS unit or a map? And you just know it wasn't your fault, it was the GPS. And maybe it was because the GPS was like old. You know, the map it was working off of didn't account for some new construction that had happened. That ever happened to you? You ever gotten lost? I was driving recently in Nova Scotia, going somewhere I hadn't been in a long time. And as I came suddenly to this, the road was blocked off. And I thought, my goodness, I suddenly have no idea where I'm going. I don't know my way around. Fortunately, the detour was kind of marked out. But there was this moment of me where I thought, my goodness, I don't have a map mentally anymore. And the map that I had in my head was wrong. And if I'd tried to follow it regardless, I would have run into big trouble. I think what had happened was there was a bridge that was washed out. So I could have said, you know what, like I actually could drive around the barricade. Like it wasn't like it was that big a barricade. And I could have said, well, forget it. This is the only way I know. So I'm going. But we all know what would have happened as soon as I got to the bridge. It wouldn't have gone well. And we can have these mental maps about the world and how the world works that can steer us in the wrong direction. Because maybe they're not true, or they're not true anymore. And sometimes we have an idea of how reality works, how the world is, that's just wrong. Have you ever had an impression of somebody that you realized later was totally wrong? I had a friend that I thought he was just arrogant and stuck up. And he just was quiet, and he was elusive. And I thought, what is his problem? Well, I came to discover later he's just really shy. And he wasn't stuck up, he wasn't stubborn. I just had read him wrong the whole time. But I had treated him as if he was stubborn and stuck up the whole time. And once we got through that, and I got a true picture of who he was and what was going on, we had a much better relationship. So here's the thing I'm getting at. The ideas and images in our minds can steer us wrong, or they can steer us right. The ideas and images in our minds can lead us in the wrong path or in the right one. And today, as we talk about guarding your heart, we're talking about our thoughts. And I want to start with a proverb here. This is a great one. So Proverbs, I think this is 14:12. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. Many of us have had that moment where out of a deep sense of conviction, we think we know exactly what we're doing. We think it's just so clear to us. Have done something. We've acted in a certain way. And we've just felt so strongly about it. How could we possibly be wrong? We have such a deep sense of conviction. And the people around us, perhaps, are even cheering us on. But Proverbs tells us we can feel that way, we can think that way, and still be wrong. And it can still lead to death. And that's a scary thought. Maybe you've had that moment where you suddenly realize, I've been wrong this whole time. I've had that person all wrong in my mind. Or I've had this situation figured out in a certain way, and I was just absolutely 180 degrees wrong. That's a scary thought. So today we want to consider, how do we think? How do we think? I'm going to tell you a story. This is about a Middle Eastern man that I've come to know a little bit about. And this man was deeply, deeply religious. He grew up in systems and schools of thought. He was very committed. In every way, he pursued the Lord. He wanted nothing but to see the Lord honored in all things. But he was so deeply sure that his way was the right way that he actually began hurting and killing and imprisoning other people in the name of his religion. See, even at the best of times, when we have the best of convictions and the best of intentions, in the name of God, we can get it wrong. And we can find a way that leads to death. That's a scary thought. Now, who was that man? Maybe you've already guessed, some of you. It's Paul. He was known as Saul back 2,000 years ago or so. And Saul went around. He was so deeply convinced that the Christian way was wrong. He was Jewish. He was so deeply convinced of it that he was violently hurting people. And I wanted to show you, this is what he wrote about himself on this next slide. This is a letter he wrote to the Galatians. "You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it," Paul. This was a man who deeply loved God and acted out of that conviction and was 100% wrong. And it's a scary thought, but that can happen to us. The thoughts, the ideas, the images that we have in our mind can lead us down the wrong path and lead us to death, whether it's our death or the death of another person, not always literal, but always dangerous. Maybe you know how you've hurt someone based on a wrong idea. It happens all the time. And as Christians, guarding our heart, a big part of that is going to be organizing every aspect of our hearts and lives around the Lord. Now, what changed in Paul? What changed was he had an encounter with Jesus, and he changed his ideas, his actions, and all of it based on that encounter with a real person. And I want you to hear what he wrote to the people in Rome about this situation. Here's what he said as he was talking about his own transformation, but also the possibility of change for them. So in Romans 12, verse 2, this is just a famous verse because it says so much. He said, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Now, listen to that. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. All of us have grown up with behaviors and customs in our homes, here in our town, in our province, our country. Last night was a great example of how there are different customs all around the world. There's different patterns. There's different ways that people see the world. And it results in a different way that we act. But here Paul says, don't copy the customs you see around you. Don't copy those. Instead, shape yourself. Allow yourself to be shaped and transformed by God into a new person, a new way of living. And he'll do this by changing the way you think. And in another translation, it says, be transformed by the renewing or the making new of your mind. So how is it that Paul, someone who killed Christians, became one? Is because he had a dramatic encounter with a living person named Jesus, and he realized he was all wrong. There was truth that he had encountered and he was forced to deal with. And it changed the way he thought and the way he acted. So we're going to listen to some of the words of Paul now as he's talking about changing how we think, because I want us to understand what it means for us to change. If you've maybe got a habit or something in your life that you wish was different, maybe you grew up in a family or a pattern, a custom in your home that you wish you'd never been exposed to, and you just don't know how to break the cycle. You don't know how to break that chain that's been holding you down. Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to look at Scripture here and see what the Lord is going to teach us through Paul, someone who actually experienced the living Jesus, someone who actually experienced the transformation that comes by following Jesus. So let's go to the next verse here. Before we do, I want to just reference Dallas Willard, whose book we've sort of been using as we guide through these things. And he says, the process of spiritual formation in Christ is one of progressively replacing destructive images and ideas with the images and ideas that filled the mind of Jesus himself. So as Christians, what we want to do is we want to learn how Jesus thought, how he saw the world, the images that he understood of his Father, of us, of people. And we want to have the same ideas that he taught, that he showed us, that he lived out of. So that's what we're going to try and do. Let's do that by looking at the words of Jesus himself. Let's go to the next. I keep forgetting what's next. Let's get practical. First, before we do that, I want to show you the roadmap. Let's get practical. First, as Christians, if we're going to do this, we need to have a deep commitment to knowing truth. That's the first goal here. We need to recognize that we're trying to find out what's actually true. Now, in this day and age, there is a bit of a question. Sometimes we think that, that's your truth. You sometimes hear people say that. And that's true for you, or this is true for me. But there are things that are relatively true. They are our subjective experience. But there are things that are objectively true. This is what science teaches us. These things are true all the time, always, in all times, in all seasons, throughout history. This is it. This is reality. And so we are going to be deeply committed to knowing reality, what is real, what is true. And we're going to do that by listening to the Creator, the one who made it all. Second, we're going to prayerfully reflect and evaluate our thoughts and identify issues. What do I mean by that? It means we're going to take time to pay attention to how we think, to what we think about. And we're going to look at that thought and we're going to evaluate, is this true? Is this real? Or is this false? Is this wrong? For some of us, it's also going to include an evaluation of whether or not our mind is strong and healthy. In our world today, there is a greater and greater understanding of what mental health is. It's important for us to acknowledge that some of us have struggles. In fact, probably one in three in this room struggle with some form of mental illness, or at least have been exposed to a family member or friend who's had a struggle like that. There was a day and age, especially I remember as a child, that was filled with shame for many people. There was a sense that you're not good enough, there's something wrong with you. And you know what? That shame should just be dispelled. Because the shame can be almost as destructive for you as the actual problem. And so we need to forget about that shame. We need to support each other. When people are going through hard times, we need to just say, it's okay if you're not okay. You know, in my family, I've been exposed to mental health issues. There have been challenges in my own life. I've gone through seasons due to circumstances where I've experienced real depression. Genetically, I'm predisposed to anxiety. You wouldn't believe it, maybe, because I stand up here without notes. But there's sometimes when I preach, after or before, I'll just go off into a room and breathe. Because there's this anxiety that wells up inside of me sometimes. Not all the time, just sometimes. It happens. And you know what? If we're scared to talk about those things, if we feel ashamed about them, it's going to hurt us. But if we can acknowledge that it's real and it's just a part of our life, then we can actually move forward. You know, like if you said to me, my body is just so vitamin C deficient, then I would say to you, well, eat some vitamin C, have an orange. That's just your body. That's a part of your life. And if you have an issue with your mind, if that's part of your reality, maybe you need to take some medicine. Maybe you need to exercise. Maybe there's something the doctor can do, some counsel that will make you stronger. It's just a part of your life. Don't be ashamed about it. See it for what it is. It's just part of your reality and deal with it. So as Christians, we need to have that kind of value for the mind. We need to have that value for truth and reality, that we look at ourselves and say, what's going on inside of my mind? Is there anywhere where I'm weak, anywhere that I need to grow stronger and face those things? In fact, I'll say this. I'm going to counseling for a couple days this week. I regularly do that a couple times a year because otherwise I'd be a mess. And you don't have to worry about me. I'm not like, you don't have to worry about that. I'm doing it because I'm healthy and I want to stay healthy. And some of you need to be not afraid to go and see somebody and talk to somebody. Okay, I've said it. So that's part of being healthy in our mind. So we're going to prayerfully reflect and evaluate our own thoughts, identify issues that are there, and just address them. It's just reality, so we got to deal with it. Now, the second thing is, once we see some of these things, especially when we identify those negative thoughts and patterns, we're going to practice new godly patterns of thought. We're going to practice them. And I say the word practice because sometimes they don't come naturally. And when something doesn't come naturally, you have to practice it, just like you would if you were learning an instrument. Whatever it is, when you want to learn something, you practice it. Just as an aside, it always scares me that lawyers say that they're practicing law. Or doctors say they're practicing medicine. I want someone who knows what they're doing. All right, so we're going to practice new godly patterns of thought. We're going to do that through two resources here. We're going to incorporate Scripture. We're going to read Scripture. Really, that's one of the reasons you're going to see so many of my sermons just very heavily dependent on Scripture. And we're going to memorize it. We're going to get it inside our brains so that it's in there, that it's accessible to us when we need it. Now, I went through a time in my life, just as a quick story, where I was dealing with a lot of anger towards one particular man. And every time I thought of him, I could feel that anger welling up inside of me. And it would change my disposition, my attitude, and how I acted. And it was a problem. So you know what I did? I went and I found a verse of Scripture that spoke to my particular issue, and I memorized it. And when those thoughts began to creep in and I couldn't avoid them and they were overtaking my mind, I would say that Scripture over and over and over again, wherever I was, whatever was going on, I would say that in my mind until eventually, after a few weeks of doing that, that just became my new pattern. See, I was practicing a new mindset. I was practicing a new pattern of thought. And eventually, my brain caught on. And that was a good thing. I was able to let go of some of that. And then the last thing is we're going to walk with faithful people. Now, that's the roadmap, and I'm going to take you through. Let's look at this. Finally, let's get to the Scripture where Jesus is speaking to us, John 8, 31 and 32. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That's an incredible promise for us today. That if we remain faithful to the teaching of Jesus, the ideas and images that were in the mind of Jesus, then we can experience freedom. I want you to think about that thing that's on your mind that you can't let go of, that's a problem. I want you to think about that thing and think about how incredible it would be if you were free. If that no longer came to your mind, if it no longer had power over you, how wonderful would it be to have freedom? That is possible as we commit ourselves to the way of Jesus. It's possible as we commit ourselves to him and have an encounter with him, just as Paul did, a real encounter with the living God, and then change the way that we think and act as a result. So we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. So we need to be committed to truth. Next, John 14, 15 to 17. Again, Jesus speaking, he says, "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father." There's this incredible promise. "And he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth." So not only are we deeply committed to truth, but God is deeply committed to us. So much so that he comes, his presence comes to us in the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us every step of the way into truth. That is an incredible promise for us and an incredible resource. We are not doing this in our own power. It's not that you just suddenly have to be better, that you have to think about different things, you have to do it all on your own. No. God himself will help you. Out of love and commitment to him, he will be present to you and will actively empower you to find real truth. That's a wonderful thing for us. Next. 2 Corinthians 4, 5. Now, back to Paul. Paul is speaking about these different teachings and these problems that are going on in the Corinthian church. He's addressing them, and then he says this thought, that although he's saying it in one certain context, it applies to us in every aspect of our lives and our thinking. He says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God." So those are big words. That just means we demolish every bad idea and every bad argument, every bad teaching that goes against God's way, everything that goes against God in teaching and ideas, images, all of that, and instead, we take it captive. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. See, the renewing of our mind, the transforming of our mind, is going to mean that we take captive every thought. So we need to be reflecting on it prayerfully, asking God to reveal in us what's something that I'm thinking about in the wrong way. What's a bad idea that I've got in my head that I'm stuck on? And we take that captive. And you say, oh, it's too big for me. I can't take it captive. It's not you. You take it to Jesus. You let him deal with it. He's stronger. He's better. He's greater than all of it. You need to get the idea. You need to have the image of him as your redeemer, your rescuer, as the one who's got this. And you take that thing that you recognize is wrong and you say, Jesus, this is too big for me. I give it to you. Don't ask him to take it. Tell him you give it to him. And then keep doing that. Keep trusting that he'll do that. And you will find a freedom. I'm not saying this theoretically. I'm saying this as a person who's lived this and done it. And who should be a bigger mess than I am. I'm saying when you do this and you take every thought captive and you give it to Jesus, you will find freedom. That's how it is. And so Paul says, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ by the power of the Spirit. Help him. Ask him. Show me what's true. Show me where I'm wrong. Show me what I'm thinking that's wrong. And then I give it to you. I give it to you. So we reflect on that. And maybe even that is the moment as we're praying in that way that we recognize, I need help. I need counseling. I need to talk to my doctor. I need to recognize what's going on inside of me because it's too big for me. It's not a shame to have a problem. Next. In Isaiah 26:3, I want you just to hear this. This is wonderful. This is, again, we're not just going to fix our mind on these things. We're going to fix our mind on Jesus. We're taking thoughts to him. We're taking ideas captive to him. And as we come to him, we want to think about him. You know, filling our mind with the things of Jesus, the ideas, image, but leaning into him. And in Isaiah 6, this is the Old Testament, but it helps us orient ourselves towards God. And it's this wonderful promise. God, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. This is a verse that someone gave to me once when I was going through a very difficult time. And what was great about it is they gave it to me stapled to a bag of cookies. I just loved that. And you know what? This verse traveled with me a lot longer than the cookies did. And this verse just kept reminding me when I was going through difficulty and I was fixing my attention on things that were dangerous and bad and harmful and painful, I started to switch my thinking and fix my eyes on Jesus instead. And what a peace that came. What a peace that came. You know, have you ever... Again, we're using another driving analogy here. Did you ever learn this? Maybe if you took some sort of driver education training. My driver instructor said to me, where you look is where you will go. And so he said, you keep your eyes on the road in front of you because if you look at that house over there, you're going to start to find that you're actually drifting towards it. You start looking in the ditch, you're going to find yourself in the ditch. Where you look is where you're going to go. And so if we fix our eyes, we fix our thoughts on God, we're going to find ourselves growing more and more so towards him and to be like him. So fix your thoughts on him. There's incredible peace there. There's freedom. Let's go on. So Philippians 4:8, we're talking now about how we practice this, how we practice these new patterns of thought. And in Philippians, so now Paul is speaking to the people in Philippi. He says, fix your thoughts on what is true. What's honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So how do we practice this? How do we practice this? Well, for some of you, maybe that means you need to take some certain things off your to-watch list on Netflix. Maybe you need to stop binge-watching certain shows that really aren't fixing your thoughts and ideas on things that are pure and honorable and right and lovely, admirable. Maybe for some of you, that means you're going to need to start spending a little bit less time with a certain person. Because whenever you're around them, my goodness, this is not the list of descriptive words for you. Some of you just need to change the topic of your conversation more often. Some of you need to find other books to read. Some of you just need to be spending time in Scripture. You need to be filling your mind with the things of God. But here what the goal is for us is to find out what's true. To look for things that are honorable and right and pure and lovely, admirable. This is Paul, someone who changed his life dramatically, telling us this is what he did. This is how he found the freedom of Christ. And this is how we can do it as well. Now you think, you know, oh my goodness, my life is just in the dumps, it's in the ditch, it's just going so badly. If we keep thinking that, it's going to stay there. Where we're looking is where we're going to go. But if we're looking to the things of God, if we're starting to sense, you know, it's not the way I want it to be yet. It's not the way I want it to be today, but it's going to be. I'm trusting that God's leading me to a better place. I know we're going to get there. I know He's with me. I know that His Spirit's leading me into truth. Then we're going to find ourselves more and more and more in a place where we're experiencing things that are honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. It's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful way to live. See, what God is offering is such an incredible gift. Why don't we lean into this more? So fix our thoughts on God, but also fix our thoughts on these things around us that will fuel us and lead us in the right direction. This is how we renew our mind. And next, and this is the last one, this is about the people around us. Not only do we need to commit ourselves to Scripture, getting it in our minds, getting it into our lives, reading it, incorporating it into our bodies through memorization. Not only do we do that, not only do we evaluate and practice new patterns, what we do is we surround ourselves by people who are committed to truth. We surround ourselves by people who will speak the truth to us, even when it's painful, even when it's hard, that will help us see the reality that we want to deny, that will help us see the way forward as well. So here's a verse from 1 John. This is not Paul now. This is from John. But he's speaking with love and tenderness to the people that he knows in that church. He says, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions. And our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God." We need to be committed to people like that who are committed to loving each other in truth, to saying things that are hard, to apologizing when we need to apologize because we were wrong. We need to be people that are so deeply committed to truth that we will be humble when we're wrong and admit it. We need to be surrounded by people who will come to us and rebuke us when we're doing things wrong. When our life is heading towards the ditch, they'll say to us, "What are you doing?" We need to surround ourselves by people who love us enough to take action so that we can live in the reality and freedom that comes in Jesus. So I gave you an example of how at one point in my life there was this person that I had to memorize this verse of Scripture and train my brain to practice a new way of thinking, to move forward, to find freedom. And I had to surround myself by people that would encourage me to do that. One of them was a counselor. One of them were other good friends, godly people. I want you to think about whatever it is that came to your mind earlier when I asked you to think about that thing you're having a hard time with. I want you to begin to think, who are the people around me that are helping me overcome it? What are the thoughts that I need to change? What are the patterns I have in my life that are destructive, that are leading to death? They felt good for a while, but my goodness, they've led me astray. I'm no further along. I haven't made progress. I'm not any better. I'm not any healthier. I'm not freer. And begin to identify those things, take them captive, give them over to Jesus, and then start practicing a new way of life. It's going to feel painful at first. It's going to be uncomfortable. You're going to say, "I don't really know what I'm doing." That's why you need people around you who are going to encourage you. That's why you need to spend time in Scripture to remind yourself where you're trying to go. As we fix our thoughts on these things and on the Lord, we are going to find ourselves over time growing and changing and experiencing greater peace, greater freedom, greater love with each other. So friends, dear children, let's be committed to truth. The truth that comes from the mind of Jesus. Because his sense of reality is always right. And his power to overcome the painful things in our lives is greater than we can imagine. So let's lean into him. Let's fix our eyes on him. Let's ask him to show us by his Spirit the way into truth, to empower us to live a new way, to practice a new pattern of behavior. Ask him to bring people around us who will encourage us and push us further down that road, leading us to truth, leading us to him, leading us to greater love in all things. And let's live this out. Let's live as new humans. There's a new way to be. We can be new people. Paul did it. He changed his thoughts. He changed his ideas. And his ideas that he shared with us even today, we're 2,000 years later talking about them. Because he's describing reality for us in a way that we need to hear. So friends, dear children, let's love the Lord so much and recognize his love for us that we walk in his truth and commit ourselves to his ways. Ah, what a beautiful thing when we do that. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you that you came to bring us freedom and that your truth sets us free. Thank you that you came to give us peace and your presence by the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you give us life through your death and resurrection. We find that your power is greater than any pain, any problem, any sin. And that when we trust in you, we can find that. We can live a new life, a resurrection life, raised from the dead of our old ways to live out a new pattern, a new way that's shaped by your heart, your mind for us. In all things, fix our minds upon you. Fix our minds through you and help us to see things as it truly is so that we can live the life you intended for us. Help us also to be good friends, good brothers and sisters to each other that encourage each other and point each other towards truth so that we would know you even more. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.